Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, everyone out there. Good morning to you all. You are welcome to another exciting edition of Everyday Muslim, a program that dwells on our day-to-day activities as individuals. Of course, the program is not limited to Muslims alone. I am Rashida Adetum Okeolaniyo, and I'll be your host. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAG in collaboration with Women Radio 91.7 FM, and it's open for sponsorship and adverts. If you'd like to discuss further on the sponsorship, contact 090-555-58686, 090-555-58686. Before I introduce our guest for today, let's take a message from the Nasheed titled, "Peace Be Upon You."
There's faith in my...
Okay, so let's go on. We are still on your regular show, your Saturday radio program, Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. And our topic of discussion today is cancer awareness, lifestyle, a tool for prevention. And I'll be taking the quote. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no disease that Allah has created except that He has also created its treatments." This verse of the Holy Quran says more about the wonders of Allah and the need to continue to seek for knowledge. Allah is telling us here that for every ailment or disease, there is a cure for it. What we need to do is to seek for the cure through knowledge. And these cures can either be through medication or through the change of our lifestyle. Today, we have a guest here. She'll be joining us virtually. And our discussion mainly is going to be on cancer. A lot of us have the fear of what cancer is all about. Some people know what it is, but of course, how do we prevent it? And what are the other we need to know? Much, much more about cancer. I have with me here today Dr. Khadija Bale. As I said earlier on, she's joining us virtually. Dr. Khadija Adebale is she is the medical doctor of almost 20 years, a specialist in hematology and blood transfusion. Dr. Khadija, can you hear us? Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. Join me welcoming Dr. Khadija Adebale to the show. It promises to be engaging, enlightening, and encouraging. Assalamu alaikum, doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. A brief introduction of cancer. Cancer is a dangerous and deadly disease. Out of the thousands of people, perhaps few people recover from it. According to researchers, a number of forces can cause cancer, which ranges from gene mutilations such as smoking, radiation, viruses, cancer-causing chemicals, obesity, hormones, chronic inflammation, and lack of exercise. With all the above, one keeps wondering how babies and toddlers contract this deadly disease. Is there a cure for it? What are the cures? How do we prevent it? And there is an adage that says prevention is better than cure. All these and more are what we will be doing. We will be discussing today, actually. I guess our listeners out there are ready to learn more, especially when it concerns to toddlers who have barely lived a significant life. Talking about kids of 10 months, 8 months, 6 months diagnosed of cancer. Sit down and learn with us. If you're just joining us, this is your Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and our topic of discussion is cancer awareness, lifestyle, a tool for prevention. Our phone lines will be open shortly for calls 07000-917-917. If you prefer to use the SMS or WhatsApp messages, 070-317-56537. Dr. Khadija, you're welcome once again.
Thank you very much, Ma.
I will be starting by this. When we observed our social media, particularly when individuals are seeking financial support for various medical conditions, we often encounter the terms like cancer of this or cancer of that. This terminology can be somewhat confusing to many, including myself, leaving them with questions like, is this also a form of cancer? Could you please shed more light on the prevalence of cancer in our society today, and are there specific types of cancer that are common in our region?
All right, Ma. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. So I will start by just giving a brief definition of cancer. Cancer is where you have an abnormal growth of abnormal cells. We like to think of them as rogue cells. They offer no benefit to the body, and rather they impede the other cells from growing and from working. So when we look at the prevalence of cancer, I would like to start with the worldwide prevalence. The worldwide prevalence of cancer is about 18 million per year. And interestingly, the ratio in men to women is about 1-1, with the males being just a little bit slightly higher than women. The Nigeria data mirrors this. However, the values for Nigeria are about 124,000 annually, with the male cancer also slightly being higher than the females. So when we look at it, then the next question we want to ask is, what are the most common cancers? Let me first start by saying that cancer can affect every and any part of the body. Whether anywhere there are cells growing can have a cancer. So think of it, there can be cancers. The gallbladder, the skin, even the blood can have a cancer because there are cells in the blood, the brain, the kidneys, the pancreas, every organ in the body can have a cancer. But when we look at cancers, for policy, for the sake of policy, we want to look at which are the most common. And the most common in the world are breast cancers, lung cancers, colorectal cancers. Others are prostate cancers, stomach cancers, liver, cervical cancer, and so on and so forth. But if we look at Nigeria, we have high prevalence of cervical cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer. So for men, the most common cancers in men are lung cancers, prostate cancers, and colorectal cancers. While in women, we have breast cancers, colorectal cancers, lung cancers, and cervical cancers.
Okay. A significant number of individuals dealing with one or more health conditions are further burdened by pessimistic thoughts that suggest that it is the end of the road. Regrettably, they often fail to recognize the pivotal role lifestyle choices can play in preventing cancer. How does our daily habits, such as diets, physical activities, and smoking, influence cancer risk?
Thank you very much for that question. I would like to state that the cause of cancer is largely unknown. So it is really not advisable for anybody who has cancer to think that it was either something they did or something they did not do. However, we have what we call risk factors or associations. And how do we come about the risk factors? Scientists and researchers have looked at hundreds of thousands of patients with cancers, and they have found what we call commonalities in their lifestyle, in some things that have affected them. And these are largely divided into two, the non-modifiable and the modifiable. So if we look at the non-modifiable, these are things that you cannot help. So I mean, if you cannot help something, how then can you say that it was your lifestyle that caused it? So the first non-modifiable that I'll be talking about is age. The risk of cancer increases with age, and the median age of cancer is 66 years. What does median mean? Median means that 50% of people who develop cancer will develop it before the age of 66, and 50% of people who develop cancer will develop it after the age of 66. Now, let's look at the incidence according to age. So we have 25 per 100,000 population in those that are 20 years old. Compare that with 350 per 100,000 population in the age group of 45 to 49 years. And then still compare that with about 1,000 per 100,000 population in those above the age of 60. You can see that clearly as we grow older, we have a propensity to cancer. Secondly, the other non-modifiable risk factor is a family history. And this is what we call genetic inheritance. There are some cancers that run in some families where you find it in every generation. Anybody who has such a family history of cancer knows that they are most likely to have cancer. These are the non-modifiable risk factors. If I was to now look at the modifiable factors, top on the list is alcohol.
Okay.
Alcohol usually causes cancer of the mouth, the throat, esophagus, larynx, the liver, heart, etc., etc. Also increases the risk of any other cancer. And then we also have tobacco smoking. Tobacco smoking also increases the risk of cancer. For alcohol, there's what we call moderate consumption of alcohol. And that is for women, 2 drinks per day, and for men, 1 drink per day. Anything above this is in excess and predisposes to a risk of cancer. For tobacco smoking at all, in any way, increases the risk of cancer. And then we have environmental causes. There's a lot of pollution in our environment, like ultraviolet radiation, because of the depletion of the ozone layer. The ozone layer actually protects us from the ultraviolet radiation coming from the sun. But when there's a depletion, it means when we go out in the sun, and we all go out in the sun, we get exposed to ultraviolet radiation, which can cause destruction of our DNA, leading to these rogue cells, which we call cancer cells. So environmental pollution, especially from manufacturing industries, can also contribute. Another modifiable factor is chronic inflammation. When we have abnormal immune reactions, for some reason, sometimes in autoimmune diseases, the body just fights itself. It starts destroying its own cells.
Wow.
This predisposes to cancer, yes. And these abnormal immune reactions can lead to damage of the DNA, which is one of the key fundamental things that happens in cancer. Another modifiable factor is our diet. For people who eat charred meat or charred food, for most of us in this part of the country or world, we eat charred food in the form of smoked fish, smoked meat, and all. They have actually been shown to have an association with cancer. Artificial sweeteners like saccharin, aspartame, sucralose, etc., also have a high risk. So when we look at that, the other things are the hormones. With hormones, we look at the exogenous and the endogenous. Exogenous are the hormones that are not in our body, but which we introduce by way of medication. especially hormone replacement therapy for women undergoing menopause to treat the symptoms of menopause. Many women undergo hormone replacement therapy, which actually just gives you more estrogen to mimic the premenopausal time. So this can increase the risk of cancer of the breast and cancer of the uterus. And then we have the endogenous. This is by way of how life treats us or the things that happen to us where we have some hormones increasing. Generally, estrogen in women increases the risk of cancer. So more exposure to estrogen, endogenous estrogen, increases the risk. So things like early attainment of periods, late menopause, late attainment of menopause. So that gives a very long time for estrogen to act in the body, thereby increasing the risk of these cancers. Increased age at first pregnancy, reduced or no children. These are endogenous causes of increased hormones that predispose to cancer. Another modifiable cause is immunosuppression. Inadvertently, sometimes we have immunosuppression. For instance, in transplant patients, you would need to actually suppress the bone marrow and the body to have a successful transplant. So this immunosuppression predisposes the individual to having cancers. Sometimes infections also cause immunosuppression, like HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, Epstein-Barr virus, H. pylori, human papilloma virus, HTLV, human T lymphocyte virus. They also predispose to different types of cancers. Another modifiable factor is obesity. So obesity has been shown to also increase the risk of cancer.
Wow.
So I have mentioned all the modifiable and the non-modifiable factors. But what I think is most glaring is that our age predisposes us to cancer.
Huh. Okay. Thank you for the insight. As in, sincerely, with what you have said now, I was just trying to visualize a lot of things, and especially where you said obesity is a risk of cancer, I was trying to imagine a lot of things. Having explained this, I would like you to discuss further on the key lifestyle factors that people need to pay attention to if you want to reduce the risk of cancer as individuals and in society in general. Because of course, when this thing happens, the families, the friends that are affected both emotionally and physically. So what can you tell us more about the lifestyle that we need to pay attention to?
Yes, absolutely. So first off is that we maintain an ideal body weight. For every height, there's an ideal body weight. We should not exceed that. We call it the body mass index. And we can always achieve this by eating well, a balanced diet at all times. In addition, there are some other things in our diet that can help, things like antioxidants. Interestingly, we have a lot of antioxidants in our fruits, in our cruciferous vegetables, and in a lot of our spices. A lot of our spices actually have high antioxidant levels. These have been shown to confer some protection against cancer. Also, taking vitamin D. We actually do get vitamin D from the sun, but this is early morning sun before 9 a.m. has been shown to also confer some protection from cancer. Also, exercise. If we maintain a healthy habit of exercising, nothing really out of the ordinary, 7,000 to 10,000 steps, about 3 times a week, is actually sufficient. So if you choose to then go further, by going on the treadmill, that should not exceed more than 30 minutes, about 3 times a week. And if you do decide to jog or swim, just as they say, keep moving. Anything that helps you to break out in a sweat is healthy for you, because exercise also increases your levels of antioxidants and anti-inflammatory agents.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are now open for calls. 07000 917 917, 07000 917 917. If you prefer to use the SMS or WhatsApp messages, 070-317-56537. 070-317-56537. Dr. Khadija, you were mentioning about eating healthy. If we look at our surrounding now, society in general, we know that the economy is okay. I won't say that it's friendly. I will not say it's not friendly, but we know that the economy is not stable, and is affecting a lot of people's daily living conditions. And I would say, will it be right for me to say that it's also affecting the way we eat healthy as individuals? But with this economy, should it be a barrier for us to have good diets?
So my answer is no. The economy is not a barrier to having a balanced diet. And this is because we all assume that every food must be bought. But what they are telling us now about food security is sustainable farming. A certain amount of what you eat, you should be able to grow. And what you grow is organic. And what you grow, you do not have to buy. So if, for instance, I am growing potatoes, these are very easy and simple things to grow, by the way, and vegetables, I'm already contributing to my balanced diet, and I am not going to pay out of pocket for that.
So that means we are all going back to farming.
Well, it was the first occupation of man.
Okay, so even if we don't know how to farm, we need to go and learn it. That's one basic thing to keep ourselves healthy.
I don't think it's such a difficult skill like that.
Okay.
And luckily, I think the land in Nigeria is quite fertile.
Yeah,
we are quite blessed in that regard.
Yeah.
So generally, you drop things into the soil and they grow.
Oh, that's true. We are blessed. Okay, are there any specific foods that have been linked to cancer prevention, or are there foods that should be avoided? Because I know that we have heard a lot of things about cancer, but we want to hear from you now as a professional.
Okay, so earlier I mentioned charred meats. I mentioned smoked fish, soya, and all the rest. I mentioned
I need you to explain further what you mean by smoked fish. Is it the normal one that we call a jayinyo or
that you I'm not really sure what the local parlance is, but anything that is charred. So when we say something is charred, it means that you have burnt bits in it.
Okay.
Any food that has burnt bits in it is charred. The typical example I can think of is our suya.
Okay.
Yes. That's one ready example. But I do know that the same process we use in making suya applies to other foods too, like fish.
Okay.
And sometimes corn. Anything that you actually burn on an open flame and gets burnt is charred.
Okay.
Then I also talked about artificial sweeteners like saccharin, aspartame, sucralose. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. But what about other solid foods that we eat? Like rice, spaghetti, indomie.
They all constitute part of your balanced diet.
Okay, so when...
None of them has been directly implicated in increasing the risk of cancer.
So that means when we, you know, there was a time that we were getting this rumor that cancer, I mean, Indomie is one of the spices in Indomie is one of the causes of cancer and things like that. That means we should debunk it.
Like I said, the research has not shown any association between any food.
Okay.
Except for those that I have mentioned and cancer.
Thank you very much for the clarification. I'm sure that our listeners too have picked that. You also said earlier on that regular physical activity is often recommended to reduce cancer.
Yes, I did.
And you have also mentioned that the kind of exercise we should be doing and how many steps that we should go into. What other types of physical activities are most effective in reducing cancer, apart from the treadmill, the walking, the jogging?
I've mentioned the very basic and easy to do ones. So generally, like I said, anything that makes you sweat and increases your heart rate is an effective form of exercise.
Okay. I would like to take you back to the charred meal, the charred foods. Does it mean that we should leave them completely or we should just minimize them?
I think you should just be aware that there is an association, because I am sure that there are many people who have been eating charred food and have not developed cancer. So I think it would really be unfair to bedevil any food and say, oh, this food causes cancer, that one does not cause cancer. Like I said, the cause of cancer is unknown. All we have are what we call associations.
Thank you. Smoking is a widely recognized risk for cancer, factor for numerous forms of cancer. In fact, I can remember that while I was growing up, all I knew about cancer was the smoking aspect of it, because it was always there that the manufacturers will always say that smokers are liable to die young, but people still consume it. Why is this still so? And is it not going to be confusing and contradicting? You say that smokers are liable to die young, but at the same time you are still producing and people are still consuming it. What do you have to say to that?
So there's one thing you must understand about tobacco smoking, and that it is addictive, and like all addictions, it is difficult to give up. However, research has shown that for people who smoke tobacco, they have an increased likelihood of not just lung cancer, but it predisposes them to also other cancers. And this is because there are poisons in the tobacco which weaken the immune system. A weak immune system is not able to detect a cancer cell. There are poisons in tobacco that also damage the DNA, which is the basic principle of a cancer cell. A cancer cell is a cell which is abnormal, usually with a damaged DNA that now grows excessively where it is not wanted. So tobacco seems to have all the elements that can predispose to cancer. But you must understand that tobacco smoking is quite addictive. Mm-hmm. If you can think of anything that is difficult to give up, number one would be tobacco smoking. So it is only fair that the manufacturers warning people did not come out of their own free will. It was out of the government policy that mandated that they should inscribe this as a way of trying to curb tobacco smoking.
Thank you very much. We'll be going on a short break now. We'll be right back.
WFM Chasa inda daya dadi goba kwai Mariyar Mata.
Nasco quality corn flakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
A market for markets. Economic showcase of Nigeria's backbones. SME Mart will celebrate innovations of small and medium-sized entrepreneurs. The huge role you play in Nigeria's economy. We celebrate the gains, we learn from the losses, we identify the risks, and we explore the Nigerian venture. SME Mart, your radio business hub.
Mondays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs.
The stories are real.
Something like this happened to me years back. I saw some messages in his phone. He literally had sent a message to him. When I knew him, I said, "Come, why are you like this? How are you doing all this?"
It's all around you.
And so when she comes up to you to tell you her schedule needs, you should be humble enough to listen. And if there's something you can do about that, you do it. Is it reading books? Is it seeing a therapist? Be open to certain things, because at the end of the day, this person is your partner. That is the bottom line of everything.
My family advised him to marry the girl he has impregnated. We forced him, but he refused.
So when the girl starts telling that, you call her too much, then there's something fishy.
You want to share it? Show people free. You're not alone. Break the silence culture. Adult conversations. Weeknights from 8 on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
Driving through traffic? Bored at home? Or maybe you're having a bad day? Ease your mind with great music, entertainment, and lots of laughter on The Evening Experience every weekday from 4 to 9 p.m. on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs.
Almana Hope Foundation,
in partnership with
Women Radio 91.7, brings you
A Widow's Window,
where issues affecting widows in our society are discussed. Join Hope Nwakosi
Saturdays, 6 p.m.
On WFM 91.7. A Widow's Window, giving widows a voice.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
We are Nigeria's only radio station for women,
women
and their families.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and the topic of discussion is cancer awareness, lifestyle for prevention. Thank you very much, Dr. Khadija, for staying with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our phone lines are still open for calls, 07000-917-917. For SMS, 070-317-565-37. Dr. Khadija, we were speaking about addiction before we left for the break. I would like you to elaborate more. Let me say, what are the resources available for those looking to quit tobacco?
All right. So, for somebody who is looking to quit tobacco smoking, the first thing they need is the willpower. They must really want to quit because it's an addiction. So, it must first come from themselves. But when we now talk about resources available, they would also need psychotherapy because this is an addiction. So they would need therapy, and they would also need a support group. There are many support groups for people who want to quit tobacco smoking. The support groups help to keep them accountable. They have accountability partners, and this also contributes to helping them to quit smoking.
So apart from the accountability partners, what can the family and friends do? Because these are the closest people to them.
Yes, so they can act as accountability partners. They can support them unconditionally. Because it's possible they start and then they fall off the wagon. And then they try to quit again. So their unconditional support will go a long way. Okay. In helping somebody who wants to quit tobacco smoking.
Okay. When we started earlier, you mentioned that cancer is one of the breast cancer is something that is common here in Nigeria. And this is the month of October, and it's dedicated to raising awareness about it. Primarily affect because it affects the women most. Could you please provide a brief explanation of what cancer, breast cancer entails and the method of prevention? Also, the available treatment for those who already have been diagnosed of it. I have a question after this, but I want to answer this first.
All right. So, for breast cancer, the prevalence in Nigeria is over 100,000 cases per year in Nigeria.
Wow.
It is quite alarming, really. And interestingly, it does not affect only women. 0.5 to 1% of cases of breast cancer are men.
Ooh.
Worldwide, it affects about 2.3 million worldwide. So the prevalence is actually quite high. And what are the symptoms? What should anybody look out for? A lump in the breast. A change in the shape and appearance of the breast, any discharge at all in the breast, pitting of the skin, a change in the skin. We call it peau d'orange, which means that it looks like an orange. Any woman seeing all this needs to go straight to the hospital and have it checked out. So when we talk about prevention, you said earlier that prevention is better than cure.
Yes.
I say that prevention is not only better, it is cheaper and less painful than cure. Because for breast cancer, screening is easy. There's the self-breast examination, which every woman is expected to do after their period each month if they have not yet attained menopause. And when they attain menopause, usually from the age of 40, even if they haven't attained menopause, they are advised to have annual mammograms. This is a test like a scan, a very advanced type of scan that can detect lumps in the breasts. There is also another very advanced screening, especially for women or men who have a positive family history of breast cancer. They can check for what we call the candidate genes. That is the genes that have the DNA damage, the BRCA1, BRCA2, PALB. And if they choose, they can actually have a prophylactic mastectomy. That is preventive removal of the breast. I mean, if there are no breasts, there will be nothing to have breast cancer in, will there? So when we look at the treatment, the main principles of treating breast cancer are surgery. You want to remove the cancerous breasts. Secondly, chemotherapy. You want to remove any other part of the body that the cancerous cells in the breast have traveled to. And then thirdly, this is not in all cases. If there is the need, there will also be radiation therapy called radiotherapy. Interestingly, with early detection and treatment, the overall survival of breast cancer is good, and it has been improving from year to year all across the world. So this shows that screening and early detection is actually the key to beating breast cancer.
Okay. Briefly, before we go on with the breast cancer, the kids that have cancer, that usually maybe 10 months, 8 months old, that are diagnosed of cancer, what do you think? Because it's still a kind of a misery to me, and I think to some of our listeners also, that we keep wondering, why are these kids diagnosed of cancer? Sometimes liver cancer, brain cancer, and they are still very young. Was there anything that the mother should have done or did not do, or something that should have brought about this for these kids?
Thank you for that question. So I would like to refer back to what I said, that the causes of cancer, nobody knows. Nobody knows what causes cancer. And for a lot of the children who have cancer, it is not something the mother did or failed to do. Because I can be sure that whatever a mother did, millions of other mothers also did, and their children did not have cancer. And whatever any mother failed to do, millions of other mothers also failed to do so, and their children did not have cancer. So for anybody, any mother who feels guilty that their child has cancer and maybe it was something they did or failed to do, it is not really correct. That's really not it. Nobody really knows what causes cancer. So like I said, there's DNA damage. So for some of these children, the DNA is damaged. For causes, we do not know. We really don't know why. Because they don't have the non-modifiable risk factor. But for some of them, they have the non-modifiable risk factor or the family history. This is very common in eye cancers. We call it retinoblastoma. The inheritance of retinoblastoma is autosomal dominant, which means that if one parent has it, it is very likely that they pass it on to their child.
Okay.
So for a cancer like that, the family history plays a very strong role in that. And look at it. It is nothing the mother did or didn't do. She also inherited it. It's what she inherited that she passed on to her child. Or she may not have even been the one that inherited. It could have been the father that inherited the gene.
Okay.
So for children who have cancers, most of we actually do not know what causes cancers. Just like we don't know for the adults, we do not know for the children. Or we just have associations. And for children, the associations are even a lot fewer. Because they haven't smoked, they haven't become obese, they haven't eaten artificial sweeteners, they haven't eaten charred meat and all that. So you see that for them, it's even more difficult to tie an association to childhood cancer.
If we're talking about the mammogram, sincerely... Yes. I remember that some years back, I was told to go for this screening, and I was so scared of going for it. Because, you know, sometimes when you're scared of the unknown, you will pause. And it took me a very long time before I could decide that, okay, I'm going to do this. So it took me a very long time, and I had to take that courage. In fact, when I got to the screening center, I had to tell them that please, anything that I discover, please don't tell me. Just keep it. My heart was really skipping. And I'm sure there are a lot of people outside there too who still have this fear of unknown. What do you have to tell them?
Well, for for me, what I always tell people is that if one has something, it is always better to know and know on time while it can still be treated than not to know and allow it to fester and then maybe get to a stage where it can no longer be treated. It's always better to know. Always. There is no comparison with knowing and knowing on time.
That would be okay. I'm sure that our listeners out there will know that the fear of unknown is just a barrier for us to succeed. Are there any local or national initiatives related to cancer prevention and awareness that you did like to give us an highlight on?
Yes. So it's quite interesting you should ask, because this week, on Monday this week, the federal government actually released 3 policy documents. And one of them actually talks about cervical cancer, so I won't dwell on it. But the other two, one is the National Strategic Cancer Control Plan, which is going to span from 2023 to 2027, where they're going to formulate strategies to control cancer. And another...
Dr. Khadija?
Is the National Cancer Research Agenda, which will span from 2024 to 2027. So, at the level of the federal government, they are looking into cancer control, and they are looking into more research. So, like many of the questions that you asked me, that I said, "Oh, we do not know." When we domesticate a lot of the international research that is being done, it is possible that we have our own local associations that are local to us, which we are going to find. And I'm hoping that these documents will help us to achieve that. That's the National Cancer Research Agenda, which will help us to research more cancers. And that the National Strategic Cancer Control Plan will help to curb cancers. And I think the launching of the HPV vaccine mm-hmm. is part of the National Strategic Cancer Control Plan. Now they are catching them young. Young girls are being given the HPV vaccine free of charge, so which is a good thing, because that actually prevents the development of cervical cancer later on in life.
You said young girls, from which age?
I think it's, I'm struggling to remember the exact age. I think it's 11 to 14 or thereabouts. Okay. This may not be correct, but I know that it is young girls, early teenage girls. That I'm sure of.
Where can they get these vaccines from?
All the local governments in Lagos State are giving the vaccines.
Is it free?
Oh, yes, it's absolutely free.
Okay. Okay. I would like us to... I have a story I would like to share before we just leave, because it's about a woman that had this lump in her breast and she felt it was just a boy. And along the line, she went to an hospital around. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a quack, I don't know. I just said she went to an hospital and it was cut open. And by the time I was going to visit her, I noticed that something was, but she just kept telling me, "Alaja, I don't want to die." I kept telling her, "Go to the hospital to test this thing." She said, I don't want to die. But unfortunately, she went to the hospital. By the time she was going to get to the hospital, it has already spread even to her second breast. I'm sharing these stories for our listeners to be able to understand that prevention is really, really better and cheaper, as you have said.
And less painful.
We lost her. Unfortunately, we lost her. It was very painful. But then, if she had done what she was supposed to do at the earlier stage, maybe it would have been... We could have still be able to keep her alive, but Allah knows best. But this is just a short story for everyone to learn from, that whatever that we have noticed when it comes to health-wise, we should always speak out on time and go to the nearest hospital. as in a professional hospital, not just any hospital, for them to detect it on time and help us out. Thank you very much, Dr. Khadija, for coming on the show. I hope by the time we call you next time, you oblige us to be here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much. To our listeners, we decided to bring this to our audience just to let you know that Islam is a complete way of life. It's everything about us, our lifestyle, and everything about us in general is a complete way of life. The well-being, our morals, our worship, everything is embedded in Islam, and that's why we brought this. It is not just about it's not just what people say outside, but it's a total way of life. And of course, before we leave, I would like us to also say this, that we stand by the people of Palestine. It's very painful, it's sorrowful, but what is happening around the world now, we pray that Allah help us to bring everything to normal again. Palestine owes both the Muslims and the Christians, and of course this is all about humanity, and we know that humanity knows no race, no religion. Humanity is about lives, and because of that life, human lives really matters a lot. How do we make the world a peaceful and a better place for everyone is what we should always clamor for. Thank you to our listeners out there. Hopefully you had a lovely time with us and you were able to learn one or two things, because I really did, about this cancer, and it has given me a lighter mind on some of the things that causes cancer and all the things that they have told us that we should not eat, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Now we have heard it from a professional who has told us how we can prevent it and the treatments for it. My comment goes to WFM and MPAC for this program. A big thank you to our engineer Hilary and Dami. Thank you very much for pressing the buttons. Until we come your way again next week, same time, same station, I'm Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyo saying masalam. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.